Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Thursday, January 28th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is GameStop equals Game Over. This is a question. This is something that I asked yesterday. It was sort of ironic or just good timing, I guess, with yesterday's discussion about this manic frenzy within the markets related to a handful of stocks where the media narrative and the social media narrative is the little guy versus the big guy. This is exactly what it is. It's a narrative. I think there is something bigger at play here. This does not pass the smell test. And with what we have learned today, a lot more bells, whistles, and red flags are going off in my mind. So we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch of other things. This is Thursday. It's our typical discussion with respect to initial jobless claims, what have you. We're going to save that for tomorrow's podcast unless something else happens. But just again, with that sort of timing of saying GameStop equals game over, meaning this frenzy, these shenanigans that we have been living through in this everything bubble, I was listening to, I believe it was another podcast online yesterday, and I like to read the comments, and somebody else had said basically the same thing. I think they even used sort of divine justice or intervention, saying this is some type of signal here. GameStop means the game is over. I think that might be what's at play here, but there is a lot of emotion surrounding this. You hear it with a whole bunch of pundits and anchors on financial media. This is even crossing the waves into the mainstream media, not just the financial news. It's, of course, blowing up all over the place on social media. And I think there are just a huge disconnect with what's going on. This is extremely dangerous in my mind. Usually when I do these podcasts, I write down a few bullet points and I just go. Today, I have so many different bullet points, it's not even funny. I want to get market performance out of the way real quick and talk about what happened today with GameStop and some others. But today we have U.S. GDP growth slowing to 4%. The U.S. economy expanded at an annualized 4% in the fourth quarter of 2020, slowing from a record 33.4% expansion in the third quarter as the continued rise in COVID-19 cases and restrictions on activity moderated consumer spending. Figures came in line with market forecasts, the advance estimate showed. Considering full 2020, the economy contracted by 3.5%, the most since 1946. Japanese consumer morale deteriorates to a five-month low, as is the case in Germany. But I thought everything was great. Isn't that what the idiots have been telling us, one central banker after the next? That's everything's perfectly fine. Nothing to worry about here. We're printing money. The vaccine is on automatic pilot. It's rolling out. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about here. Fiscal authorities all over the place are going to borrow more money, going to spend more money. Why are the consumers, why is their morale deteriorating? I can't figure this one out. We have the dollar index trading at 90.74, a nice increase there, and a lot of broad strength with respect to the dollar against a lot of the major currency cross pairs. So that's something that's probably not going to bode too well for stock prices either. Bitcoin remains on a string. It's a yo-yo. It's back and forth, but it's currently trading at $32,800 per coin. A reversal from yesterday's sell-off here in the U.S. However, there was a sell-off at the end of the day. So it came off its high, still closed up in the green, but the major averages did sell off at the latter part of the trading session. However, overnight trading, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 0.1%. The S&P 500 is in the red, down 1.3%. And the NASDAQ 100 is also down, giving back 1.4%. The cash trade in Japan is also down 1.8%. Somewhat of a mixed bag across the pond, but mainly in the green. The lone exception was the UK FTSE 100, giving back 0.6%. Also down in Australia, 0.5%. On the share price front, we have Apple giving back 3.5%. Tesla gave back 3.33%. Microsoft bucked the trend, gaining 2.5%. Amazon was flat, and Facebook also gave back 2.75%. On the commodity front, we have WTI at $52.10 a barrel, Brent at $55.45, natural gas $2.68, Gold gave back a little bit, but is up overnight, $1,845 an ounce. Silver did extremely well today, up several percentage points at $26.27, but currently giving a little bit of that back. And then to round it out, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is yielding 1.05%. So, getting to GameStop, just so we know where we are. So, yesterday, GameStop had a market cap of slightly over $24 billion. $24 billion with a B, dollars yesterday. Today, it now has a market cap of $13.5 billion. Okay, this is what happens when you attempt to manipulate the markets. That's what this is. And the fact of the matter that is they're doing it with GameStop is just a head scratcher. It really is at the end of the day. I talk about market manipulation. The markets are rigged all the time here because they are. JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, pick a bank. You will find fraud, corruption, rigging, manipulation. You will find a deferred prosecution agreement somewhere. You will find a big fine somewhere. And you are not going to see any of these people go to jail. They don't even get fired. They don't resign in shame. These people are sociopaths, psychopaths, and narcissists. They feel no shame. They do not care. They're getting theirs. That's all that matters. But two wrongs do not make a right. An eye for an eye is not the solution to these problems. In fact, all this is going to do is make things that much worse. Because this whole argument, this whole narrative of the little guy versus the big guy, it's too convenient. Too convenient. And now all of a sudden, we have some strange bedfellows being made in Washington, D.C. We have the likes of AOC, Maxine Waters, Impeach 45. We have Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, and we got Ted Cruz all coming together to say this mania is out of control. What the brokerage firms did today, out of control. They can't do this. They're hurting the little guy. We need to investigate. Now all of a sudden, these idiots, these jokers, are all of a sudden concerned about market manipulation. Newsflash, we have been manipulating markets for decades. My God, have we not been paying attention to what quantitative easing is? Are we not paying attention to what the Federal Reserve and Congress themselves are engaged in doing, pumping up the markets? But clearly that's perfectly fine. These Democrats who have a personal animus and disgust towards Donald Trump, thunder thumbs, on a very frequent basis during his administration, put out lies, BS, huge exaggerations with respect to one trade deal after the next. None of it came true, all to juice the markets higher. If he wasn't tweeting or saying something, it was Mnuchin, it was Kudlow, it was Navarro, it was Wilbur Ross. Take your pick. That was market manipulation. Had him dead to rights, and these people who hated his guts never went after him. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe they were profiting from it too. Those two idiot senators that lost down in Georgia in the runoff, both of them were engaged in insider trading because they had information about COVID-19 before the general public did, and they traded on it. What happened to them? Nothing. Yeah, they lost their seats, but they're doing fine. There is manipulation. There is a problem. But two wrongs do not make a right. Because this is going to have some long-lasting effects. And now the question you have to ask yourself, with this band of idiots joining forces, what do you think is going to happen? What happens when these people get together to do something? Do you end up making out like a bandit, or do you get screwed? They are going to clamp down. They probably already have the bill written. It's been collecting dust in a drawer, in a desk, in a file cabinet somewhere, just waiting for this type of event to come out for these people to say, all right, now we got to clamp down. We got to control the markets. We got to overregulate this brokerage house. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, boom, boom. This is like 9/11. You remember 9/11, don't you? What came out immediately after? The Patriot Act. They had that thing ready to go. Ready to go. All they needed was an event, and boy, did they get one. This thing was in somebody's desk, collecting a little bit of dust. Boom. A couple buildings go down. Several thousand people get killed. All right, baby. Let's pass the Patriot Act. several hundred pages. Destroys, shreds our Constitution and our constitutional rights. But it's called the Patriot Act. Well, tell me, Clifford, what's in that bill? Oh, well, you know, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. It's called the Patriot Act. I mean, you're going to vote for it, aren't you, Bill? You have to. I know you're a patriot. You can't vote against it. Otherwise, you'd be unpatriotic. Well, what's in it? Oh, well, a whole bunch of stuff that's going to basically infringe on everybody's constitutional rights. But, I mean, two buildings went down and we were attacked. Okay, well, I'll sign it. This is what's going on. I can almost guarantee you that they are going to pass something that clamps down even further on us, on everybody. More control over these markets because they know what's coming. And it's not going to be good for anybody. The big guys, the middle guys, the little guys. Not going to be good for anybody. The other thing that causes a lot of concern here with me is the fact that I don't think a lot of these people on Reddit, these platforms, Twitter, all these little trade groups here, whatever the hell is going on, understand about anything about the financial markets or the broader economy or anything like it. I think the narrative is just they're out for blood. They don't like the hedge funds. They probably don't know much about these hedge funds, who's managing them, what's their record, whose money are they managing. It's just an us versus them. Well, this is not a way to solve a problem of division by throwing more gasoline onto the fire. Excuse me. Not going to solve a damn thing. In fact, it's going to cause more problems. This isn't the first time something like this has happened within a bubble, within a manic frenzy. And you know who gets hurt most of the time, don't you? It's the little guy. Because they don't know what they're doing. They are not the professionals. That's why they're the little guy. Going to sit at a poker table. If you don't know who the sucker is at the poker table, newsflash, you're the sucker. Now, you might get the good hands. You might get a couple good cards. You might win a few hands. Maybe the professionals around the table know that you're the sucker, and they're going to let you win too a little bit. And then they're going to take it away from you because they're the pros. I think at the end of the day, this is more of a pump and dump scheme because you talk to a lot of these people who are engaged in Robinhood trading and are just following the trend, following the crowd, why don't you do yourself a little exercise? Why don't you print out a balance sheet, an income statement, and a statement of cash flows? No headings, and put them in front of these people and tell them, hey, ask them this question, which one's which? And if they identify them, now you have to start telling me how you analyze this. What does this mean, that mean, boom, boom, boom. Wait a minute, they're not going to be able to do it. So do you honestly think a bunch of people on a trading app know what short interest is? Know how to target a multi-billion dollar hedge fund? No. Don't be stupid. But this creates a very dangerous precedent. Very dangerous precedent. This needs to be investigated. Who did it? Who started this off? How many other professionals were behind this too? On the other side. Well, if I can get these people to do this, well, I'm going to print money. Who's to say that didn't happen? In all of this hoopla, all of these shenanigans. This is a company that for all intents and purposes probably should be going out of business or definitely downsizing. They are not a $24 billion business. They are not a $13 billion business. Let me just talk here shortly about short sellers. Before we get to that, I just want to mention another point, which is separate from this, but it is connected. But this is also being conflated with all of this big guy, little guy argument. How convenient. But you had brokerages such as the Robinhood trading platform, I think E-Trade and a couple others that actually shut down trading with respect to these stocks. I think you were allowed to sell GameStop and some others because there's AMC Entertainment, the movie theater company, there's Bed Bath & Beyond, and I think maybe another, a couple of BlackBerry, and I think maybe another one. Couldn't do it. If you held them, you could sell them, but you couldn't buy more. Now, of course, that makes people scratch their heads. Well, what's going on here? Is the game fixed? Did they receive phone calls from somebody? You guys got to stop doing this because you're hurting the big guys. That's a convenient narrative too, isn't it? What about the compliance and regulatory aspect of all of this? That's at least what's coming out from these brokerage firms saying, well, we had to do this because of all of the market volatility that existed within the markets with respect to these stocks. And we are a heavily regulated industry. We have to meet certain capital and liquidity requirements. And so it's just math. We just have to meet these things. I want to hear that from the regulatory agencies that that's the case, because I am not astute enough in the regulatory and compliance department to know if that's the case. It makes sense to me that that's a possibility, but I want to know for certain. I want to hear that from the SEC or other regulators. I want to know what's going on here, because them shutting down the trading, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, but don't conflate these things, you understand? Because there's enough confusion out there already. There's a lot of people out there cheering this on, because we like a good comeback story. We like the little guy winning here in the United States of America. It makes people feel good. And there's no question that a lot of people on Wall Street are rigging the markets. But two wrongs do not make a right. Now, I talked about short sellers a little bit yesterday. Short sellers are demonized often, because everybody wants the party to continue. And these guys come along and say, nope, you're going to have a hangover. It's not going to end too well for you. Nobody wants to hear that. But they offer a valuable service to the broader market. These guys are not guaranteed to make money, just like people who are buying stocks aren't guaranteed to make money either. There are typically smart people on both sides of every trade, of every investment. And they can articulately put together a proposal to explain why you should buy this stock and perhaps why you should sell it short, or at least not get involved with it. Short sellers obviously need to be right, but they have the cards stacked against them right off the bat, because there is a natural upward trending bias towards the stock market. Most people come in, they want to buy stuff. They don't know how to sell short stocks, and they don't want to deal with it. They just want to buy, and we're in an environment now, and have been for a while, with all of these ETFs and all of these index funds, where it's just passive flows. There's not a lot of money management. It's just keep buying the market, just keep buying the market, just keep buying the market. That's a lot of money at the end of the day. So these short sellers, they have to do a lot of due diligence. They have to do their own internal forensic accounting of whatever company they're looking at. They're going to look for irregularities. They're going to look for fraud. They're going to look for projections. Can these projections be met or no? They're going to check their boxes off in order to make a decision. They're going to go through various filings to get a sense as to who the management team is. What's their mindset? Are these the right people at the helm to grow this business? Or are they guys that have no idea, they're in over their heads, et cetera, et cetera? What's the bigger macro picture? Do they have a solid business plan? Can they execute? What's the outward competition? Are they going to be able to compete and gain market share? And they'll make their determination. And if they find that it's a lousy management team, if they find that there's fraud in the accounting, if they think that the competitive landscape is just too much, it's going to overwhelm this company, well, then they might make a decision based off of one or several of those factors to say, we're going to enter a short position. Well, that's good information, because a lot of people, even the little guy, probably doesn't have the wherewithal to do such extensive research to identify that type of accounting fraud or those other types of weaknesses. And now they have this information to hear the other side of the story, and not somebody that's just trying to sell them the stock to get them to buy it because, well, they're already in it, or because they're going to make a commission off of you, whether or not the stock goes up or down. So short sellers offer a very valuable piece of information when it comes to well-functioning markets. Furthermore, short sellers will provide a bottoming out process if they happen to be proven correct in their thesis that a company, its stock, is going down. Why is this the case? Very simply, because in order for a short seller to make a profit, they have to buy back the shares. So assume, for the sake of argument, that there are no short sellers that exist whatsoever in company XYZ, and their share price is trading at $100 per share. Everybody thinks this thing's going up, it's the greatest thing, but there are no short sellers. Well, one day, it's found out that they're running some sort of Ponzi scheme, or they're cooking the books, this, that, or the other, and they're going out of business. And this thing starts going down from $100, $70, $50, $40, $20. It's going to zero. And that's probably where it's going to go. But if you had short sellers in there, in order for them to actually book a profit, they have to start buying the shares as it goes down. Just like in order for you to book a profit, if you're long the stock, you're going to book the profit as it keeps going up. Buy low, sell high. This is the opposite for a short seller. Sell at the high point, buy at the low point. Cover, take your profits. So as it's going down, they're going to start buying to book profits. Well, that buying creates a bid for that stock. So instead of it going from 100 to zero, boom, it's going to start tapering off a little bit. Take a breather. Start to bottom out somewhere. Now, it could very well still go to zero, but maybe it gives the opportunity to start bidding it back up, or to at least have it plateau somewhere, bottom out. You understand what I'm saying? They are part of a well-functioning market. I heard this same story during the Great Financial Crisis when I was an undergrad. Same stuff. About, we got to get the short sellers out of here because, you know, it's just wrong. You can't do that. That's why the stock market's going down. No, the stock market went down during the Great Financial Crisis because these people, these banks, these corporations were levered 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 to 1 betting on garbage. And they knew it. That's why the stock market went down. Lehman Brothers didn't collapse because of short sellers. Lehman Brothers collapsed because of Lehman Brothers, their management team, and the decisions that they made. Short sellers are a scapegoat for people who don't understand what the hell they're talking about. And that's exactly where we are again today. And it concerns me, because the other thing that a lot of these people don't understand on Twitter, on Reddit, and all these other little chat rooms getting together thinking it's the little guys versus the big guys, yay, is a little thing called systemic risk. I wonder if they're familiar with systemic risk, if they've ever heard of that, if they even know what that means. Okay, there was a hedge fund. In the lead up to the dot-com bubble and bust in the 1990s, by the name of Long Term Capital Management, LTCM. Many of you are familiar. Many of you probably are not. These were the who's who. These were the smartest guys in the room. They couldn't lose, man. You had a couple Nobel Prize winning economists on the team, and anybody they wanted on that team, they got. They couldn't lose. Everything they were doing was making money. Boom, 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 boom. Well, in their pride and arrogance, they made a bet. They made a huge wager. And if memory serves me correct, I believe it had to pertain to the Russian ruble, the currency of the Russians. Okay? Well, they were wrong. They were wrong. And they had so much money invested in this that this was going to perhaps cause a systemic event, a systemic crisis. You want to understand what that is? Think about the Great Financial Crisis. Think about dominoes. One goes down, boom, it starts a daisy chain, and they all start going down. It's systemic throughout the system, causes a problem. Well, guess what? You had Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, at the time. This was basically part of the Greenspan put. These guys got bailed out because he was so concerned about the systemic risk and how this was going to make its way through the rest of the economy, little by little, causing a whole bunch of damage. Well, all this did was caused a bigger problem. All this did was ended up causing the dot-com bubble and then the subsequent bust, which from peak to bottom lost 80%. So you think that the Greenspan put is written in stone, signed in blood? Well, you have to contend with the 80% decline. You think that the Bernanke put was strong? You have to contend with the 50% decline during the Great Financial Crisis. The Yellen put, the Jay Powell put. They are not invincible. They are extremely flawed. And I'm not going to be surprised when this thing explodes, and it will, that we see results like that. A decline from top to bottom, wherever we top out, of 80%, maybe even 90%. It would not surprise me in the least because there's precedent for it. The NASDAQ in 2000, and you have the Dow back in 1929, and you have the Nikkei back in 1989, and the Japanese markets are still nowhere near that level. They're getting close, but it took them 30 years. It took them 30 years of massive money printing. It took them 30 years, or however many years it's been since the Bank of Japan has been buying Japanese ETFs outright, and they still can't get back to that previous peak 30 years ago. Okay? This is going to be generational. That's how destructive this is going to be, and it makes perfect mathematical sense, because when you bring forward that much demand through debt and more debt and more debt and more money printing, that's where it's coming from. You have stolen, we have stolen from our future selves and from future generations who have had no say in any of this. It's immoral, it's unethical, it's un-American. Our founding fathers told us over 200 years ago that a government where the people, it's going to be a system of self-government, of free citizens. The only way that this system can survive is with a moral and righteous people. Does this look or sound like a moral and righteous people to you? Does this sound like a market where basically one side is saying, F you, oh no, F you. That's where we are. You screwed me, now I'm going to screw you. This is not a market. Do you understand what type of psychological and behavioral damage this could end up doing to people too? Because it's one thing to say, you know what? I might not know that much about the stock market, but I know I can generate some wealth in this. All of those hard-earned dollars that I am earning from working my entire life, I should try to get some interest on that. And I should get involved with investing. And maybe they come across, okay, how to do some fundamental analysis. Looking at some balance sheets, some income statements, some statements of cash flow, looking at various metrics. Okay, this company looks good. Management looks good. Read this, boom, boom, boom. Everything checks off. I'm going to buy this stock. I think it's good. Now, there's no guarantees. There's always risks. But now, evidently, we have to add another risk to the table. The risk of personal vendettas and personal animus to a hedge fund or to another institutional investor. And for those of you who are thinking this can only happen to hedge funds or institutional, oh no, this could happen to the everyday American, the little guy. And for those of you who think that these Reddit bandits or whatever they're going to be called are just going to get together and buy stocks, well, what's to prevent them from selling short? Absolutely nothing. Nothing's preventing them from selling short. I mean, if they're upset at a hedge fund that's selling short and they're trying to quote unquote beat him up by doing the opposite, buying the stock, well, what's to prevent them from trying to beat up a hedge fund or another institutional investor that's long a stock somewhere and they say, well, I'm going to screw them too. We're going to sell short. Nothing. Nothing. But it's going to wipe these people out who did their fundamental analysis, said, look, everything looks good. I'm a little guy trying to put some money away, trying to save up for retirement. I didn't know there was going to be a personal vendetta against some institutional investor. Boom. How are you going to trust the markets? You're not. You're not. There's enough reasons to be doubtful of them with all of the rigging and manipulation that's going on. Now we got to deal with personal vendettas because we're upset with a hedge fund or an institutional investor. This is where this is going. This is where we already are. People are cheering this stuff on all over the place on social media. This is outrageous. This is not a country, a nation of laws anymore. This is a nation of men. This is jungle warfare. And people don't care because as long as they're making money, screw it. I told you last year, this decade is going to be one about survivalism. You better have gold, silver, guns, and lead, and you better know how to use them, and you better have a plan, and you better know how to grow food, because this is it. The decay, decline, screw it. This is collapse. This is just another extreme, unhealthy signal to me that this is a blow-off top and that we have no control over what's going on whatsoever. This is not a government. This is not a society. This is not a community. This is not a country. This is a free-for-all. This is a free-for-all. It's the Wild West, and most people aren't gunslingers. And most people today can't survive. They're just not going to make it. This concerns me a great deal, as you can tell, because there's a lot of ignorance going on. There's a lot of personal, there's a lot of emotions in here. Us versus them. The little guy is always the one that ends up getting screwed. You think you're going to beat them at their own game here? How do you know that these guys didn't end up printing money today? With the brokerage saying you can't buy. How do you know they didn't cover? How do you know they didn't sell short? They went from $24 billion to $13 billion. Do the math. That's a lot of money. And you had a lot of retail investors, the little guy, who got in and bought at $200, $300, $320. Stock collapsed 44% today. How's he going to make that back? You lose 50%, you got to make it back just to get even. You have to have a gain of 100%. This is mathematics. This is not difficult stuff. It's extremely concerning to me. And of course, when these markets collapse, and they eventually will, a lot of people who are in retirement and using their 401ks to supplement their income, to provide their income in conjunction with maybe a pension or maybe Social Security, what have you, if they don't have it, well, guess what's going to happen there? They're going to have to get out of retirement, and they're going to have to come back into the labor force with a huge glut of labor supply. And the idiots in Congress are trying to pass a $15 minimum wage. What could possibly go wrong here? So I hope everybody understands what's at play here. I think this is more or less a pump and dump scheme. I think that more or less there is something waiting in the wings to clamp down on markets, on trading, and everything else. We need further information from the regulators and these brokerage firms as to why they really did what they did today. I do not like it. But I don't like a whole bunch of people trying to band together to think, oh, we're going to take the big guys down. That's not how it works. These hedge funds manage money for the little guy. They manage money for university endowments so people can get scholarships. They manage money for universities and hospitals, other nonprofits, other charities, pension funds, you know, teachers, police officers, firemen, you know, the little people. You have to understand and respect the interconnectedness of these markets, and you have to understand and respect systemic risk. I'm not asking you to be a wise guy or a whiz kid with all of this stuff, but understand that it exists and have a little respect for it. Because this is not just going after the big guys. A lot of people are going to be hurt along the way. And if you're going to demonize the big guys for manipulation and screwing people over, well, us trying to screw them over too isn't the solution. It's just going to be more people laying in the waste. But as long as you're making money, then I guess everything's right in the world. I stay in my lane. I don't chase these bubbles. I don't chase these manias. I know what I'm good at, and I stay there. And if I'm proven right over this decade, I'm a patient fella. If I'm proven right, I'm going to be more than happy and more than fine. But if you have to chase this stuff because you're afraid of missing out and you have no idea what any of it means, hey, more power to you. But you better be careful. Because this ain't the first time this stuff has happened. It ain't going to be the last either. And the sad thing of it is, a lot of people, if they lose everything, they end up taking a bridge, blowing their brains out. I don't like these graphic images I'm giving you, but this is what happens. It's all fun and games until the rug gets swept out from underneath you. You have horrible stories, 1929 of this happening. Great financial crisis, bankers jumping out of buildings, out of their apartment homes, everything. Terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. It's fun on the way up. Wait till it comes crashing down. So you want to go after the big guy. There are legitimate ways to do it. It's called justice. Now, it ain't easy. It's not going to be easy because the game is rigged. It's all fixed. 10 for them, 1 for us. I know. Deferred prosecution agreements. One thing after the next. But we have to put these people on notice. These are legitimate reasons that I have been stating here for this entire month. To put Congress or politicians and these people on notice. This is what you protest for. This is what you march on Washington, D.C. for. Not because of conspiracy theories about elections, because your guy lost and you're pissed off about it. Boo-hoo! It doesn't make a difference if you've been paying attention. This stuff happens no matter who's in office. This is stuff to pay attention to. GameStop equals game over. We'll find out. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.